Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Well, we had a lot of bouts this weekend. The big news was the Canelo pay-per-view. We had Ishae Smith. We had some really exciting fights this weekend, and hey, we're going to talk about a lot of them, talk about some of the things that are coming up, and we're going to start off tonight chilling with the champ. What's up, Layman? How are we doing tonight, my man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Oh, doing great, man. You know how it is out here in Southern Cali, man. It's, you know, Sunday nights, sunshine on both sides of the street. So, hey, I'm just ready to get down and talk a little boxing. We also got our co-host over there on the East Coast, out there in Brooklyn, New York, Mr. Jabron Clemens. Jabron, how are we doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing okay, JK.
We got a full house tonight, and where would you guys like to start?
I'm going to lead up to Jabron.
Before we get to the heavy stuff, I saw some great action on Friday on Bounce, PBC boxing. Great fight, action packed. We need more of that on a week-to-week basis. I spoke to some people that asked me, that was like, "Hey, did you see boxing last night? It was outstanding. It was action." So, definitely, Layman, was you at that PBC show on Friday?
No, I didn't go, man. I was waiting for the call, but I didn't get the call. So I didn't get to go, but I did watch the fights, and they were great fights, like you said, man. And as you were just talking, I was just laughing because I was just thinking, Al Heyman. Like all these people, not all these people, but, you know, you want to get people to say these negative things, but yet here we are back where we began, because the most exciting fights are these young men that are finally getting a chance to be on television. Not pay-per-view, but on regular television, and it's incredible, man.
You know, I mean, not to really belabor a point, but it does, you know, kind of seem very strange to me when if you go and look at the top 10 boxing sites on the Internet and you listen to some of the shows, it seems like six. And I would say seven, but it seems like six out of 10 of them harbor some type of resentment or negative opinion of Al Heyman and the PBC series, but yet and still they write about it, they give it all the publicity in the world, it just seems to be an enigma, and, you know, why people support this type of stuff. I mean, you know, in a way, it's almost like the boxing world is a mirror of our election, and I'll kind of leave it at that. But what did you think about the performance of one Ishae Smith?
Are you asking me?
Well, it can start with you. Either way, you're the professional, so, yeah, we'll give you the courtesy. What did you think from a professional standpoint?
Oh, man, well, you know, me and Ishay, we go all the way back to the amateur days, man. You know, he's 38 years old. You know, he's still, and it's surprising because most fighters, as you know, especially smaller weight fighters, when they start out at a young age, and they usually burn out by the time they hit, like, late 20s, early 30s. But Ishay's still going, man. He's going strong, and I can see where he is using now more of his mental ability of a fight as being a fighter versus his physical, because he was picking and choosing his times to fight. He was using more of a master plan. He was trying to stick to the plan. You know, I'm proud of him, man. I'm so happy. You know, I'm glad to even see Floyd came out to support him, because we all came up together, man. So, you know, I have nothing but the best things to say about Ishay, and I'm proud of him.
And what did you think from a fan standpoint of you, Jabron?
Well, JK, I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him because it's been times in the past where I try to rally behind that guy, and it seems like when the light get the brightest, it seems like he come up short or loses mental focus. So for him to be able to stick to the game plan and not get mentally distracted from the fight, I think that's a good thing. Even though, you know, it's later on in his career, but hey, it's something that he can use as a tool going forward and possibly, you know, be in contention to possibly get a title shot again.
Yeah, the one thing that used to really bother me about Ishay wasn't so much that he lacked the ability. But it always seemed to me that like you said, Jabron, you know, it seemed like when he would get on the big stage, he would lose focus. And, you know, either that or else he would tend to go in to a big fight with some of the most ridiculous game plans that didn't fit his particular style of boxing. And I don't know whether that had to do with his training or, you know, maybe – you know, he felt that biological clock ticking, and he just, you know, wanted to impress, you know. But Layman, as you said, you know, now he's starting to put a little more into the mental game. He's starting to pick and choose his fights, and he's using not only the ring but his ability to its best. And I only wish he had done it like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I really didn't think he was that old. He does go back quite a ways. But you know, what did you think about? Well, Jabron, what did you think about the undercard?
Hey, the undercard, that's where the action was at. Man, they was letting the fists fly. It was a cat and mouse, like they was taking turns until the gentleman, I forgot his name, where he kind of pretty much took control of the fight, dictating using his footwork. But even though he was using the ring, anytime they get cornered, they would let it fly. So I enjoyed it. It was very interesting.
Layman, you know, it does seem like, you know, when the PBC puts on a fight, it's very seldom that we see at least one or two fights, and it's usually on the undercard, that are really good matchups. You know, and very fan friendly. It would seem, you know, like we would embrace this, you know, as not just as the media, but you know, I'm talking about the professional guys here. it would seem, you know, that there are some very good matchups between guys that we've always considered second and third tier fighters that never have gotten a chance to be on TV, and now that they are, you know, they're putting on a show. They're showing the fans that they belong there. Layman, you know, how much does that not only help young fighters' reputation within the boxing industry, but what does that do for him mentally, knowing, you know, that now he's in front of, you know, millions of people and he has a chance to get his name out there?
Well, I think that a person like Floyd Mayweather really set the bar. He raised the bar. He raised the standard of it because he showed what hard work and sacrifice and dedication can do. And for these young fighters, they have to obviously see how financially successful Floyd Mayweather has been and is in his career. And so it gives them something to strive for. And just like with time, when you have money, it eventually, of course, is new to you. And, yeah, you want to do all the things that all the young men want to do. But over time, those things get old to you. And, again, taking a page out of Floyd's book, if you go back and listen to his interviews and now listen to him now, it's a wholly different – it's totally two different people that were speaking. You know, it's the old Floyd and the new Floyd. And again, him raising the bar, I think that where these guys are seeing is they follow him and they see where he's at now. So I think what they're trying to do is model themselves after the Floyd now. Most of them are humble in spirit anyway, especially guys that, you know, came up, you know, through people like Al Haymon, for instance, because there's guys like me around them all the time. And, you know, I'm steady trying to talk to these guys and say things to them that have helped them to be not just great fighters, but to be great people outside of the ring, which is even more important, is how you market and carry yourself and whatnot. So that's what I think, man. I just overall think that, you know, these fighters, the success that they're having, I think that they feel like they earned it, they deserved it. And when you know what you've been through and you get it, I think a part of it makes you humble. And that's just my opinion.
Jabron, what do you think about being able to see a lot of these young prospects on free TV? And, you know, how they equate themselves, you know, when you see them on the PBC boxing series?
Well, I'm going to come from a little different angle, taking a little something away from what Layman said about the opportunity. I feel like they have a way of being able to now network, you know, when you're fighting in these little fight clubs and these little halls and stuff, and there's no TV exposure, different things, media of that course, you know, you're limited to doors of opportunity. But now that, you know, with the PBC and the cameras and the different people there, company sponsors, different things of that sort, it's doors of opportunity that would have never been there before, fighting in those smaller arenas and showcases of that sort. So that will help them not only just in their boxing career, but just professionally as a human being, that you can not just be only a boxer. You can get into other avenues, if it's broadcasting, if it's training, a cutman, learn different things. It's just so many doors of opportunity. That's just my thing.
Yeah, most definitely. That, if nothing else, I guess. First of all, I have a big plate of crow to eat because I didn't see this coming. And
I tried to tell you, JK.
Well, hey, you know, I got my plate in front of me, my knife and fork, and I'm getting ready to eat it because I have to congratulate Mr. Willie Monroe Jr. For the great performance he put on against Gabe Rosado. I will be the first to admit, you know, when I saw him fight Triple G, it really gave me a different opinion, but I should have realized that it was Triple G. And the only thing I can say is a great job to Mr. Monroe. He hung in there. He, I mean, this was a very, it wasn't the fight that you thought it was going to be now, Jabron. Or that I thought it was going to be, but it definitely showed the maturity of Willie Monroe since he fought Triple G, and I mean, like I said, you know, I have to eat crow here, and I have to congratulate him. So, Jabron, I'll give you a chance to first talk about Willie's performance, and maybe even to a greater extent, the Gabriel Rosado that we saw in the ring that night.
Well, I always felt that Willie Monroe had the boxing ability to beat Rosado, but it was just about the power of, you know, Rosado and his aggressive style and being able to walk him down. It was like, you know, you kind of was persuading me in that way. I was like, well, yeah, you know, he is aggressive, you know, so it had me on the fence a little bit, but I always thought in his ability. But going forward for him, I think he could possibly give people like David Lemieux problems that, you know, just a come-forward fighter that's not a boxer. But when you're talking about Danny Jacobs and Triple G, he, you know, he's not on their level. He's a little below them. So, I mean, he has a bright future as, I would say, possibly holding one of the belts, but being able to unify the titles, I don't think so. And for Rosado, I think he still can get a good fight. His style make fights. If you put him in there with probably like a David Lemieux or Billy Joe Saunders, it would be a totally different fight.
Layman, do you agree with that, or has all of the punishment that Gabe has been taking, has it finally started to take its toll?
No, it don't look like it yet. You know, about two, three more of those. You know, you start to count them up. You know, but no, I mean, his reflexes, everything still look good, and you know, it's looking bright for him. I think if he can get the right fights, man. I mean, like you said, styles make fights, and I just think that if they continue to move him in the right direction, I think that he can really make a big name for himself and, you know, potentially, I don't know, a legacy, you know, just because of his style. You know, it's all about branding. So, I don't know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, when you talk about branding, that's one thing that Gabe has really been able to do for himself. If you look at his opponents down through the years, you know, the one thing, even though he's been on the opponent's side, he's always managed to be in there with great opponents, and he's always managed to get himself a decent payday. So, you know, it's definitely, when you talk about marketing, yeah, Gabe Rosado has equated himself well. Now, Willie has already fought Triple G, And now, you know, it's a possibility that after this win against Rosado, that he could also fight Canelo. Layman, I'm going to come to you first on this one. What do you think about a possible matchup between Willie Monroe and Canelo?
It's not a fight that I think that Monroe should be looking for right now. I think that he should take the road where he's taking fights that could really help to bring out, you know, for the fans to be able to see how good he is, look good winning, even if they're tough fights. I just think that a fight right now with Triple G, I think that would be a little out of his league.
That's well, he's already fought Triple G. I'm talking about Canelo now.
I meant to say Canelo. I don't think that that's a fight that he needs, because even if he wins, he loses, because Canelo has, as I said, another episode, he's a franchise player, and it's almost impossible to be the franchise player unless you are the magnitude of a Floyd Mayweather. You know, if a fight was to be close, they would give it to Canelo. And just skill-wise, I don't know if he'd be able to take, if he'd be able to hang in there with Canelo. I don't think so. So I don't think it would be in his best, unless he's looking to get a paycheck, you know, which I hope he's not, because he's a good fighter. So I don't know. What do you think, Ron?
Jabron?
No, I don't think he should go in that direction. Definitely not. Not with Canelo. That's a dangerous fight right there. And he should go in a different direction. Like I said, David Lemieux, a person that come forward that he can look good, utilizing his footwork, boxing ability, and just dance on them all night, and you know, win over some more fans, take some Canadian fans. So. That Canelo fight, if he take that, it should be a build up fight. Like he get one,
right.
get a WBO title and defend it against someone, and you know, build up his reputation and different things of that sort. Then, if he want to take that fight, it'll be, you know, worth a couple of dollars. So definitely
wait
till then. What's your thoughts on it, JK?
Well, I'm definitely like you. You know, like I said, I watched him fight Triple G. I wouldn't want him to see him fight a Canelo, not at this point in his career. You know, not only because of the physical part of it. You know, knowing that Canelo's gonna come in there being a damn near light heavyweight, but that I would definitely like to see him, like you say, Jabron. You know, maybe get, you know, a WBO belt, you know, something like that. Defend it a couple times, and you know, then see where he wants to go with his career, and you know, who knows? You know, I mean, there's a lot of good fights out there in that division, and. You know, I just like him to see him stay around somewhere around the top 10 for the next year or so, and maybe, you know, 2018, we can talk about something like that. But I wouldn't want to see him, even though they were talking about the winner of this fight possibly fighting Canelo in December, I believe it was. I wouldn't necessarily pursue that. Even though, like you said, Layman, it would be a good payday, but I think he wants to be more than just one of those type of fighters.
Now on Canelo, what you think Canelo's next move is going to be? Because reports came out earlier that he's so-called supposed to have a hand injury. So he's not going to fight in December. So we're looking at May.
Well, you know, I think, it's kind of hard because, as Layman said, you're talking about a franchise player here, and this is the only, this is the only golden goose that Golden Boy really has right now. I really, even though, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, because I haven't been able to get in touch with Abel Sanchez yet, but even though Oscar has said that he's offered Triple G eight figures to fight, to make this fight happen, this hand injury could be, could play into that. Canelo, if he's going to fight Triple G, it would give him an adequate or what they consider an adequate amount of time to get him. I don't know whether it would be the weight or, but if for him to fight somebody like Triple G or somebody like that, he's going to have to have not only his hands right, he's going to have his body right. And I think he's going to need those extra months of training. But I see him coming back fighting, maybe he might still fight a Gabe Rosado or someone like that. But I don't see him coming back or Golden Boy really coming back with him fighting Triple G, even if it is in May, especially in May. Cinco de Mayo, I don't think that – I'm pretty sure that if he's going to fight on Cinco de Mayo, he's not going to fight somebody that's really going to be considered a threat. Your thoughts on Oscar offering Triple G – eight figures to fight Canelo. Do you really think that Abel and his camp is going to turn down eight figures? But first of all, let's get the timing. Let's get the timeline here, because Oscar says he offered them eight figures a month ago. Well, a month ago, Triple G was already. he was already in training camp for his fight over across the ponds. Even if they did present it, I'm sure he was, trying to get his fight right. And not only that, but I'm sure, they were also waiting to see what Canelo looked like against Liam Smith. Now, if he offered him eight figures. And he saw, this bout with Liam Smith, they might be on the phone right now trying to accept that offer. But, Layman, what's your thoughts on this whole thing with Canelo, who he's going to fight, if his hand is hurt, who would you think he's going to fight next Cinco de Mayo? And, what do you think about Oscar saying that he offered Triple G's camp eight figures to fight Canelo?
Well, first I want to say, if he offered him eight figures, I like to see that in writing, because I don't really believe that, to be honest with you. And then your other question was, can you repeat that for me?
If Canelo's hand is broken and he can't fight in December, who do you think he would fight on Cinco de Mayo?
I don't know. That's a really good question, man. That's one that I just don't have the answer to be honest. And I'm sitting here, and I'm really trying to think. I mean, there are a lot of people out there I think that he could pick, he could choose, man. And I think that maybe it may even be a good opportunity for some fighter out there to try to take, being that he's going to be off for a while, maybe he's going to be rusty when he comes back. I don't know. That's a good question, man. What do you think, Jabron? I don't really have an answer for that.
I think just a lot of the things that, you know, I mean, can't believe everything, but from the things that I've read and some of the reports I've heard, basically Canelo is going to stay at 54 for now. He's going to take the Mayweather road and milk it for all he can, you know, financially, and it's fights to be made. And I think in May, it's possibly he will be fighting Cal Brook, because Cal Brook will be campaigning at 54. HBO is already, Frank Warren has already sat down and talked with HBO. They're trying to work out a deal. So I think they will do that for May and September. That'll be a question mark, depending on what happens in the fight come May. But that's just my opinion.
Do you really think that they're going to give him a risky opponent for Cinco de Mayo?
I mean, I think Cal Brook will be a great fight, but I'm not sure if, I don't know if Cal Brook can pull it off, because, I mean, Canelo he is kind of strong, but I don't know. That'll be a good fight.
I think that's also going to depend on how well Canelo's hand heals, and when he gets back in the camp, you know, is it still going to be bothering him? You know, and I think that they're probably going to wait till he gets back into training camp, or at least into the gym, and starts sparring or hitting the bag or hitting the mitts, to really judge, because we don't know what kind of break it is or whatever it is wrong with his hand. If it's a sprain, if it's a break, if it's a knuckle, there's so many different things that could really affect his performance, man. And so I think that's something we all going to probably have to wait and see.
They say this is knuckle. It's bruise is a knuckle. That's the
which injury. One though?
His right knuckle.
Right knuckle. See, it's hard to say, man, because I've had many hand injuries over the years myself, where I had fights where I even had to take a shot in my hand, you know, leading up to the fight because it hurt so bad, or I've had fights where I kind of had to, warm up slow by not throwing really hard punches just to get rid of that shock and awe of my hand. And then, you know, or I've had fights where my fist would hurt me so bad that I just would box a guy and just take him the distance because my knuckle hurt so bad. So, you know, they're all different type of injuries to the knuckle, you know, and I think the time is just going to tell all.
Now, Layman, when you look at Canelo, I mean, and I realize that he's young, which makes it even, you know, more inevitable to me. How long do you think that he can actually maintain 154? I mean, Canelo's a big boy. He's got a big frame. You know, and you know, sooner or later, you know, I mean, you know, the body's not going to take all of that weight loss. So how long do you think he can maintain at 154? Another year? Another 2 years?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is another year. I think he's struggling with it now, personally. I mean, I look at his body, and then I look at how big he's coming into his fights. That's just not normal, and so I think it's an ongoing battle with him now, and I give him a year or less, personally.
Jabron, what do you think?
Maybe a year, year and a half.
Hmm. See, I'm more skeptical than both of you because I think if he has a hand injury and he's not going to be able to train, and you know, so therefore, you know, I mean, he's going to bulk up a lot now, and you know, this next fight at 154 might be his next last. So I'm more inclined with you, Layman. Like, you know, maybe a year if he's lucky, but that's about it.
Yep.
Mr. Terrence Crawford, he's due back. Sorry about that. That's some of the brave men and women are defending our country flying over, and hey, not much we can do about that.
That's right.
You know, that's some of the perks of you know, just living in a military town. But as I was saying, Terrence Crawford, he's due also to possibly make another title defense next year. What do you think after, you know, such a poor pay-per-view showing and you know, Bob Arum getting up on his soapbox talking about it all the time, what do you think is next for Mr. Crawford?
I you know what, man, who do you see out there that you think Jabron that would give him a good, really good fight?
At what weight? 47 or 40?
47.
Felix Diaz is supposed to be the next contender, I believe, after he beat Sammy Vasquez in July. So I think Felix Vasquez is right. I mean, Felix Diaz right now is the next in line, if you want to call it that. Number one, is there a line?
But who was he signed? Is he signed with anybody promotionally?
Who's that?
Diaz.
I'm not sure who Diaz is signed with. We all know, you know, I know Terrence is signed with Bob, but I'm not sure who
right.
Diaz is.
Well, the reason why I was trying to make that point is because I think that Top Rank back is to the wall, just like I think that Golden Boy's back is to the wall, and I don't think that they can afford for their fighters to come out and have fights that are lackluster. I think they're going to have to strategically try to pick the fights that are going to bring out the fans, the fights the fans want to see, and bring out the best in the performance of their fighters. Because going back to Al Haymon and what he's doing is he is just organically putting these great fighters together. And I say great because they're young, they're hungry, and it's not about their record per se. No, they may not have a record of 40 or 50 and old, but guess what? They're young, they're hungry, and they come to fight, and guess what? They're fighting other people just like themselves, which is giving the fans the true excitement of what boxing is about. It's not about, oh, I have a favorite fighter, so let me follow him, because your favorite fighter could be fighting a bum of the month, and that's not helping. All it's doing is helping the sport and giving two young bodies, two willing bodies to get in the ring and mix it up, and I love that, man.
Layman, you might not have remembered the guy, but he fought on the undercard of the Deontay Wilder fight, and he fought at 140, and he campaigns at 140. So I'm not sure, like I said, who his promoter is, but he beat Sammy Vasquez, and the fight before that. He lost to Lamar Peterson, but he does campaign at 140.
Okay.
Jabron, your thoughts on Mr. Diaz, on a possible matchup between Diaz and Terrence Crawford. Now, the one drawback, I guess, if you want to call it that, Diaz has only had 19 pro fights. He's 18-1. His one loss, that one loss being to Lamar Peterson. But your thoughts after giving that background?
That's who I would like to see Crawford fight is Lamar Peterson. Instead of Diaz, I would rather see that fight.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be a good matchup. What do you think, Raymond? Lamar Peterson and Terrence Crawford?
I think that would be a great matchup. I think that would be an absolute great matchup, man. I mean, they both are exciting fighters, and they got great styles.
Now, here's the question. We all three think it would be a great fight, but would it put butts in seats?
Well, that is the catch 22, I guess.
I mean, you know, unless they were fighting in D.C., you know, where Lamont and Andre and them have that tremendous backing, or possibly in San Antonio, Texas. Those are the only two places where I could see where they could attract enough attention, where they could make it. I mean, because Layman, since Terrence's last fight was a pay-per-view, would it to put him back on regular TV, or would you have to put him back on regular TV?
You said should it put him on regular TV, or does it have to? I didn't catch you.
No, I'm saying since Terrence's last fight was a pay-per-view, would they have to make it another pay-per-view, or could they put it on regular TV? You know, somebody like Al or the PBC series wanted to buy it, or would this be something too big?
Man, you know, I wish I was qualified to say, but I don't know. I think it's all about the sponsorship, the advertisement buys for a regular television versus the pay-per-view. That's one that I'm not qualified to answer, man. I don't know. I would just really be guessing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that to me, that would be the question that would have to be answered. I mean, you know, could you really make it profitable, or you know, could you make it equitable for both fighters to take the fight without you know, knowing Bob Arum, knowing you know how he engages in that type of business. You know, would they try to rob Lamont? But that's another story.
Well, you know, I will say that. No, if that fight goes a distance and it's remotely close, I mean, let's just keep it 100 because history always has shown that you know, Arum fighters, for whatever reason, they man, just the breaks they get in some of these post decisions. But you know, don't take my word for it. Let history speak for itself.
Hey, I definitely hear where you're coming from there, and you know, you want to comment on that, Jabron?
I think y'all sealed it up for me.
Let's talk a little bit about the Canelo Smith fight. You know, Liam Smith, you know, said he'll take the payday, but he really felt that Canelo was ducking Triple G. Your thoughts on that, and your thoughts on the fight. Let's start with you, Layman.
So, first question is you saying is Canelo ducking Triple G? Was that the first question?
Yeah, that's the first question, is whether or not you agree with Liam Smith. So that's what he was saying. He said that, you know, Canelo gave him a big payday because he was, in his words, massively ducking Triple G. So the first part of that question is, you know, did you agree with Liam Smith? And then the second part is, what did you think of the fight?
Okay, well, the first part I want to say that I won't say that I think that Canelo is ducking Triple G. I won't say that. But what I will say is I believe that his team, for business reasons, are ducking Triple G. And to me, it makes the absolute most sense, because why fight? Like, for instance, if you're a fighter, it's like try to use the best analogy that comes to my mind. If you're a fighter and you're trying to make it to the top of a mountain, you have to go through different altitudes, if you will, and you have to let yourself adjust. And it's not to say that he's not adjusted to being in high altitude, obviously, because he's been in the ring with the likes of Mayweather and Miguel Cotto and people like that. But what I will say is, if he was to fight Triple G, win, lose, or draw, he's still in the prime of his career, and it's a fight that strategically, and this is just me talking as a chess player, it does not make sense for him to fight him at this moment. Why? Because there are other fighters. He can go out there, he can make good money. He could have a much longer career, because as I said to you before, when you take on a tough fight like Triple G or anybody, anytime you have a tough fight, it takes a little out of you, and a little out of you, and a little out of you. So my thing is, let's wait until his fuse is about burnt up and he's really, really in his prime, and then let those two fight. Because, okay, let's say both of them go ahead for the next 2 years and never fight each other, but yet they still calling each other out. Think about how much bigger it would be for them. And then at that time, they'd have made some money, they'd have made a name, they have a legacy in the sport. Now for them to fight, you know, they'll still be in their prime, and the money would be prime, because they can make a lot more money in 2 years if they continue down the road they're on than if they were to fight right now. And then, like I said, you know, if you are fighting in the altitude of 5,000-6,000, that's cool. Go ahead and make that, you know. But then to step up to the highest altitude, you know, let's say this altitude of fighting Triple G would be 15,000. Well, then you can't go no higher, because now everybody that you fight, you got to come down. So the money's going to be less. So you're going to be less motivated. I mean, right now, I think he just milked this cow until the milk starts to dry up. And I'm just saying from a business standpoint, and then fighting, that makes sense to me, man. I mean, I don't know how you guys may feel or think about it, but I'm just saying, if I was managing a Triple G, or if I was managing Canelo, Triple G wouldn't be the fight that I would be looking for right this moment, just because there's a lot more money to be made in the sport if they fight down the road. So they'll just be, like, you know, if he'll be able to make 10, 20 million every fight, and then when he fights Triple D, that's going to just triple, quadruple, and that's when it would really make sense. Maximize your money. Don't come to the table and, or just don't go up to bat, and the first ball that's thrown, you hit it out the park. You know, don't put yourself first when you're the home run hitter. Go ahead and put three or four guys in front of you so you can load up the bases. So by the time you do hit it and knock it out the park, it's more meaningful. And then, you know, it's like, okay, now there's a legacy and maybe even a movie that would follow up. So that's just the way I'm thinking. But maybe I'm thinking too big. Maybe I'm thinking, you know, on another level, man. But that's just how my brain works, man.
Yeah, you know, which is why I find it very hard to believe that Oscar is already offering Triple G eight figures. But
I don't believe it.
Jabron, you know, are you as skeptical as the rest of us, or are you the optimist in this conversation?
No, I agree with you guys. You got to look at it like this. Okay, we know who Liam Smith is. You know, he's a guy from the UK. But here in the U.S., nobody know who Liam Smith is. But guess what? It was 51,000 fans in attendance at that fight to see who? Canelo. So why should he go fight Triple G if he can fight somebody that nobody knows and sell 51,000? Hey. He's
little money makes big money.
and if he got paid in euros, it was even more lucrative. So, you know.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. See, Layman, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Once again, this week, we have some Showtime fights on. One of the guys that are going to be on there, of course, is Tommy Morrison's son, Trey Lippe. And we've had him on the show a couple times. He's going to be making his TV debut. We're going to have R is going to be presenting a show on free TV. We have VN Sports, Espanol. They're also going to be on TV. We have the PBC on Fox on the 27th, Fox Deportes. Gentlemen, you know, are we getting back to the old days? I mean, you know, even though we don't see necessarily the same names like, you know, ABC Wide World of Sports or some of the other shows that used to feature boxing. With all of the international attention and, along with the PBC, are we starting to get back to the age of where boxing is getting back to being featured as it was back during your childhood, Layman?
Yeah, I think so, JK, because what people are doing, man, they're using formulas. I mean, we're smart enough today to know not to reinvent the wheel. All you got to do is take the wheel and decide what type of tire you want to put on it. And that's what I think that we're doing today, man. I mean, you know, technology is the king today, you know. And that's the difference between being broke and being very successful. All you got to do is look back in the past, look at the success that other well-known promoters and managers have done in television shows, and just see what you could do to try to take that to the next level, man. And that's what we call a formula. So, you know, I think history repeats itself. All throughout boxing, you always had periods where boxing was more stagnant in one weight than another and thriving more in one weight than another. But, you know, I think that today, and I said it to you you guys before, I think today with an emergence in the heavyweight division with all these new heavyweights, you know, coming in, I think it just adds more glare, more splash to the sport. And that's not to ever discount any of the smaller fighters. But at the end of the day, man, you want to see two big dinosaurs going at it in the heavyweight division. And I think that the heavyweight division really sends an echo through the whole entire boxing world, man. And, you know, it's like there's no small fighter that don't want to punch like a heavyweight. But at the same time, there's no heavyweight that don't wish he had the skills of a smaller fighter. And I think that today you're just seeing, like, these smaller guys holding down boxing, man. And then you got a guy like, you know, Deontay Wilder and people like Tyson Fury, you know. You had the era where it was, you know, I mean, and I still see it's the era of the tall heavyweight just because all the fighters are tall nowadays. But, you know, a guy like Vladimir, because of his style, you know, his style was so educated, and his ability to beat guys, he put boxing to sleep, and it really frustrated a lot of people in the sport, which again the ripple effect, you know, it started to make you look at all of boxing like that. And then, as you know, we had promoted the records of their fighters, and they asking for all this money, and you get these pay-per-view fights, man, and these guys go out there and they did so good building up to that pay-per-view, and then you get them the pay-per-view fight and they don't look so good, and it makes you like, man, what am I spending all my money for, you know? So, you know, things like that, man. You know, hey, let's just look at Pacquiao. He, you know, he didn't have no problem swinging until after he got out the ring, and all of a sudden his shoulder hurt. You know, so you hurt the sport in that regard. But just to answer your question, man, I think the boxing is reviving. It's like the spring of boxing. It's a new era in boxing, and I see boxing really starting to come to the forefront again, as it has, you know, every 10 years. You know, you always got some great fighters like Crawford and people like that coming forward, that, you know, coming from a different avenue, him being from a state that's not known from boxing. It helps the sport, man, when you have these people that in your mind you never would have thought where they came from or who their trainer is, you know. And, you know, you have the Russian fighters. And so, yeah, man, just in a nutshell, my answer to you is yes, I think that boxing is really on its comeback, man, because it's like you watch MMA and it's like, not to discredit it, but it's a different sport. It's a different sport in itself, and it's nothing like seeing a guy slip. It's nothing like seeing a guy counter, catch a punch, come back, you know. So it's its own genre, and I think it's just time for boxing to take that big stage again like it used to in the days when you had a Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, well, Robinson too, but, you know, I'm just saying it goes by decade, and every decade you always have a time when the fighters shine, and I think that time is here.
Yeah, I'm probably the only one that's old enough to remember Sugar Ray Robinson fighting on TV on Friday night, Gillette Friday night fight. Jabron, your thoughts on that, and then give us your final thoughts for the evening, and tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and we'll give Layman the last word for the night.
Yeah, I'm getting a feel back. Like, I can remember being a kid, real young. Well, back in my day, it might not be that far for y'all, but we didn't have cable. But I know on Tuesdays I like to go to my godfather's house and watch the USA boxing Tuesday night fight, if y'all remember that. And I, you know, that's the feel that I get now. that being able to see a good fight like on Friday night on PVC, you know, regular TV, it just is bringing that feel back. And to end this show, you can find me at Facebook, Jabran Clemons, JABRANCLEMON. And thank you, JK, and thank you, Layman. Once again, always enjoy the show.
All right, Layman, your final thoughts for the evening, my man.
Hey, man, my final thoughts is always to you first and foremost, JK. Just thank you, brother, for allowing me to come on to your beautiful show, man, and be able to, you know, just kick it with you, chop it up, talk boxing, talk life, and just really help educate people, man, on what it's like to be a champion post, you know, pre, during, and post, you know, and for me, it's just wonderful, man. It's like a highlight out of my week that I look forward to every week or every chance I can to come on the show, man. And, you know, I just thank everybody who supported me through my career and just ask them to keep in touch with me. And, you know, you can reach me at Layman, L-A-M-O-N, Brewster, B-R-E-W-S-T-E-R. That's Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram. And, you know, I'll try to answer any and all questions that I can. I ask you guys keep on supporting this show. I think that it's a very educational show, and it's a real show. You know, it's not bougie, it's not fake, and it's not Hollywood, and I love it. Come on.
Hey, man, my final thoughts, I just want to thank you guys for joining me every week. And, you know, I absorb knowledge for both of you guys, and hey, I love the fellowship that we have every Sunday. And to you, the audience, we thank you for your time and listening to us, and we look forward to talking to you again next weekend. And don't forget, you can catch Jabran and I Tuesday on the Weekend Wrap. So have a great night, everyone. See you next week.